This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz as they'll take you home till 7 o'clock on what seems to be a back-to-normal type day in Houston. I don't think any of the roadways were still shut down. I don't think any overpasses were frozen over. I heard Fred mention that he had never heard the term flyover before for the highways, which are those high highway-to-highway connectors like you get at Grand Parkway and I-10.
There's one in the Woodlands that takes you from 45 to Woodlands Parkway. Yeah, and that's a flyover because it flies over
the freeway. I thought that was something that the Thunderbirds did. I had never heard about it
either. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had heard that before. I'm impressed that there's still like snow and ice on the rooftops. That makes it feel like we're in a winter wonderland and not old dirty-ass Houston. Did you guys get snow at your house, by the way?
I did.
A couple of days ago?
As a matter of fact, there's still ice around the four trees that I have in my
front yard. Well, not ice. Did it actually snow again? Because we got the frozen ice and the sleet, but in our house, it snowed for about 3 hours, and I found out that that wasn't everywhere. It was like south of I-10. It never snowed again. What day did we stay home? Tuesday?
I believe.
Yeah, on Tuesday, it didn't snow down
south. We got
south.
Flurries. But it's Sugar Land, but not like something that stuck and accumulated.
Up north, like it's the Great White North.
Farm, Nick.
Yeah, up in we call the Canada Woodlands. Yeah,
I was worried about the tractor getting by the windbreak when I had to start plowing the upper 40.
Yeah, I knew the conditions were different because I would see people on Facebook going, Facebook living this, their house, their front yard, and I'm like, wait a second, it doesn't look that bad here. So,
yeah.
It was definitely different conditions. There is some roads where it can be a little dangerous, so you still got to be safe depending on where, especially if you're a Houstonian driver who doesn't know how to drive on ice like me.
Right.
But yeah.
Eric Resendez had a question for us back to our Astros conversation in the previous segment. Who will play left field this season for the Astros? Because it's Reddick and Springer and who? And he mentioned Carlos Gonzalez is a name that's been mentioned. Yeah, don't.
Please don't.
They're not. The left fielder for the Astros going in is probably by name Derek Fisher, but a platoon between him and Marwin Gonzalez. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that gets bounced around quite a bit. Don't forget that they'll, I think they still have Jake Marisnick on staff.
He just re-signed for 1.9 or something like that.
So, yeah, you'll see again, like you saw last year, there'll be a significant shuffle that takes place. You might see Marwin start the game. Heck, you might see Evan Gattis get out there a little bit if required. But, yeah, you've got four guys that for sure can play the outfield, and Fisher, Gonzalez,
Springer.
Fisher, Springer, Reddick, and Jake.
Marisnick.
Yeah, Marisnick. But then Marwin Gonzalez can get out there and play left field on platoon if he needs to as well.
And here's the thing.
And Reddick can move over there.
With good reason, the majority of the offseason, the hot stove, the transactions have all been focused on pitching. But now, as again I refer to a great interview that Jim Crane did with John and Lance this morning on the bench, but he basically would not say they're done. But I think the key is that doesn't mean they're going to get more pitching. Now, if he does anything, he'll probably focus on, reserve catcher / first base / possibly an extra outfielder. You had Cameron Maben at the end of the year. Now he's going to get big money from somebody else to play center field and play every day. So I think if they do anything else free agency-wise, it's probably going to be a bat. We know some of the names early on that were Jonathan Lucroy that were kicked around. They'll kick the tires on some guys. God, I hope they kick any notion of bringing Gomez back and just throw that out. But,
I don't know. I still feel like there's work to do in the bullpen. I saw Brian McTaggart had mentioned go sign Cargo and go sign Tony Watson. And Tony Watson's a name I've been asking for since May of last year. To get a left-handed arm in that bullpen that
I'm meaning, by the way, the Gonzalez.
Tony Watson could close if Giles can't either. So, yeah, you meant Carlos Gomez.
We don't want Carlos Gomez, but we'll kick the tires on Cargo from the Rockies, right?
Yeah. I still want to see them maybe add some bullpen depth. I think that it's good.
Do you?
Yeah, but I think that it could be even better because you got guys that were starters. You don't know if Colin McHugh is going to be able to adjust to the role of being a bullpen guy when he's been a starter his entire career.
Yeah.
So you don't know how that's going to go. It may not go well.
And what about closer? We still haven't solidified that.
Yeah.
You know, Giles was what Giles was. Regular what? Season, he was okay. He was better than average, as you pointed out. Playoffs, we all know what happened, but they really haven't specifically said he's our closer or this is what we're going to do definitively. And so I think that's something that they still have to make. You got to make sure you get someone that can close that door, not leave it open and have a chance to blow open big.
See, here's the thing. Tony Watson can be your closer. Let's say that you get to a high leverage situation with a guy at the plate that's a right-handed bat in the eighth inning and you want to use Giles. You can do that because then you can still bring in a Tony Watson in the ninth inning to close out a game because he can do that. He's closed games before. At the same time, you could use Tony Watson in the eighth inning in a situation where you want that lefty on lefty matchup because he is a quality left-handed pitcher out of the pen. So I think to me, a guy like that makes the most sense because if you're going into the 2018 season and Tony Sipp is your left-handed specialist out of the pen, that's a significant weakness that you have in that bullpen. I don't care about the righties getting lefties out. We talked about that ad nauseum last year about how good they are, Davinsky and otherwise. You still need a left-handed arm.
I agree.
Tony Watson solves two problems for this team in the bullpen in one move. Will they do it or not? I don't know. But the thing I'm not worried about next year is this team scoring, which is why I think you could still add arms and add pitching. I'm not worried about this team scoring. I'm not worried about this team playing adequate or above-average defense. I'm worried at this point now about the bullpen. That's it.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I would still like to see them consider one bat. You lost, you know, your third string catcher, how you look at it, or your backup catcher, depending on how you evaluate Centeno. You know, you look at Max Stassi as a guy that's never been a big bat that they're going to put into that role. You know, again, first base with depth, though you have Yuli. And again, as you talk about having backups that can fill in and you don't have to take a huge step back when you give guys some rest. And again, left field, as we mentioned. So we'll see.
Okay.
But it should be fun. I mean, look, it's a good position to be in regardless.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, by saying that, you know, they need a Watson or a left, it's not like that we're up here suggesting that the Astros are in trouble.
Right.
I still think that this is a team in the upper echelon of the major leagues going into 2018 and will be on the short list of favorites to win another World Series,
mm-hmm.
and especially with the addition of Cole.
And you look at it from a Yankees perspective, they still have to straighten out their rotation. They're still looking for pitching, and they added one guy to a lineup that was already not strong from top to bottom like the Astros, that's still paying guys millions upon millions of dollars with Jacoby Ellsbury's making $22 million next year with a no trade.
Mm.
Good luck with that. Who the hell wants that contract? No one. So you have to suck it up and you have to play him because otherwise you really look bad, if not for just the financials on the contract. So with that being said, before we wrap up this segment, Barry, I thought we'd get to some more basketball. You want to talk about the Jalen Rose comments on Paul Pierce?
Why are you doing that to me?
Because you said you didn't know if you wanted to talk about it here.
Why are you... is this the thing that Dr. Dre messaged?
Dr. Dre said, we got to get to this. Are we getting to this?
Here's the thing. If you are a listener and you just tell us that we have to talk about something, I kind of don't want to talk about it. It's like when the rap museum on Twitter was like, no, you have to listen to these six songs before you go in to the show and do your show tomorrow. No, I'm not being cranky. I just like, we have a flow and we'll talk. We talked a damn near an hour of basketball from 1 to 2.
I don't know about that, but.
Well, the first hour was camel talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've talked a lot of basketball. So getting back to one dude calling another dude petty is not high on the list.
Are you referring to this the same way if someone made sure that Nick got the suggestion that they should isolate certain audio from people?
I'm just saying, I don't.
Or if, play certain songs.
If you want us to talk
corn,
yes.
Shots fired, Nick.
I hate you. I hate you so much. Play that one.
I need to get more Joel drops, though.
They're all my drops.
No, I had one. I had a good
Shots
one.
Fired, Nick. Shots fired.
they're all my drops.
Yeah,
why?
One. Here's
Where's
one.
My audio for Shots Fired?
No, I had one, and I just never played it. Here it is.
They kind of nutted up. They kind of got tight.
Yeah,
that's not a bad one.
That's terrible.
No, you don't like that one?
I think that's the only one we should have for me.
Stupidest drop. Who did Dr. Dre on 290 tell you to save that drop?
No.
Because that is the stupidest drop I've ever heard.
You're fired up today.
But like, that's not even a good drop. Says nothing incriminating. Says nothing that makes him sound stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me work on that. Just give me about 5 minutes.
Put the nuts in your mouth and it's great.
Yeah. That's way better than his stuff. Way Shots better. Fired. How many drops do I have in there?
57.
On the board in front of me, at least 3.
Just the 3?
That's not much.
Oh, what is this meat in my pants?
It's going to have so much meat in my pants.
Oh, yeah. That's you, too. So that's 3.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I remember that one.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
There you go.
We got it.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
I bet you will.
Rerun it.
I'll run it again.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
Play that bad boy on a loop. Let me put a beat behind it. I'll suck it up. We can make a rap song out of that.
You put a beat behind it, you can help Kay Reno.
I have 4, right? That's it?
At least.
Play them on a row. Let's hear all of them.
Are you do Mad Libs?
Oh, God, I'm still swallowing it, though.
Put the nuts in your mouth and it's great. Nice. Soft pour corn.
It's going to have so much meat in my pants.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's 4.
And then yeah. There you go. Okay. And you have one. And you bitch on this show.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
And you bitch on this show about every day about how we're not fair to you.
Yeah, you have to save them. You guys bring them on a daily basis. You don't need to put them in the system.
Meow.
Okay, Clarence.
Meow.
Enjoy some private time. By the way, I missed this when everybody was talking about what happened with the Saints and the Vikings. And the best one that I saw was, instead of Who Dat Nation,
Blue Dat,
Nation.
I saw that a couple times. It's pretty good.
Clarence, by the way, because people were worried about him, and we haven't heard from him since, but he did chime in on Twitter.
He's still alive
and listening, yeah. Which is good.
Good job, buddy.
Okay, man, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the final hour of the show. Keeps moving along. We'll probably talk about some Paul Pierce and some Jalen Rose. We'll talk about the new Texans general manager. We've got lots more on the agenda. If there's something you want to talk about, don't DM us. Just send us a quick text, or better yet, pick up the phone, 713-780-3776. Call or text or tweet, and we'll get to you. And everything that you want to get to, maybe, depending on how we feel about it. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final hour as we continue on. Before we turn it over to the Blitz, it's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
I don't understand this text.
Okay.
So, Barry, if the wife says we got to have some foreplay and sex tonight, will you say no?
I award you no points.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
What brought that on?
I have no idea. No clue. Is it because I'm pretty sure that they're trying to tie it into saying that with Dr. Dre on 290 telling us what to do, that if my wife said...
That actually makes sense.
There you go. Way to put it
all
together.
Right. Yeah.
It didn't take you long at all.
Yeah, you're blocked. That's the stupidest text.
When you have to think about your text like that, it's not a good text.
Yeah, same thing with tweets.
Same joke. Same rule
when
applies
it's cryptic,
to tweets.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
You got to get to the point. You got to be gist. You got to be concise.
Yes, it's like jokes. If you have to explain it,
It's not a good joke.
It's a bad joke.
Yeah.
So you should have led with, well, since you don't like taking orders from people, if your wife said, then I would have got it right away.
Exactly.
And I would have responded. Now I'm just deleting it and ignoring it.
There's really no excuse now that you have 240 characters, right?
Especially that.
On Twitter.
There's no limit on text. I mean, if it's long, I'm not reading it. But, yeah, you could use an extra few words to explain yourself better, sir and or ma'am.
We haven't talked any football today.
No, we have not.
No. And the other press conference that we teased that happened in the city yesterday in the middle of a deep freeze was the introduction of the new front office member, Texans general manager Brian Gane. And people know that Brian Gane had spent some time in Rick Smith's front office for a while before he shuffled off to Buffalo. He's now back. Whether you say he's Bill O'Brien and Bill O'Brien's guy or who won out or who got control, I mean, whether it's a completely new face or not, it seems to be a fresh new approach. But I guess people are trying to bash on this, but the most important thing is he has an existing relationship with the head coach, and they seem to get along, which is great. And he spoke about right. that at the press conference.
Bill O'Brien's a great person, first and foremost. From a character standpoint, you know, Bill is a great individual. But philosophical alignment in terms of how to build a winning football operation, a winning roster, and build a championship environment and culture as well. What you see on Sundays, obviously, is the result of player acquisition and coaching. But there's a process that's involved in terms of getting to Sunday. And Bill and I are very philosophically aligned in terms of how to do that, how to build the right program, how to build the right culture. And it's not just the football roster, but it's also the football operation. And that requires every aspect that touches the game and touches the locker room. All those aspects of the football operation, Bill and I are philosophically aligned in terms of how to run it and how to do it.
Translation, we're going to make some changes in the scouting department. We're he is obvious. I mean,
wait, the translation wasn't "I'm Bill's bitch"?
Well, that was part of the translation, but right. but yeah, you can tell that he's basically implying that, because when he's everything that matters that touches the field, he's saying that they're going to have to make some changes in the scouting department. At least that's what I read.
I'm gonna tell you right now, you put a biscuit in each one of his cheeks and ask him to talk a little slower, and he sounded like Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, you think?
So we won't hear anything about philosophical differences later in the season, is what you're saying? If he's Bill O'Brien's bitch.
I'm right? not saying that, because you know, just all fairy tales don't end well.
Right.
And there is a chance. There's always a chance. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things that they're going to have to deal with, especially with the draft and then post-draft, is how do you avoid having Rick Smith's reputation of, and his stamp on the draft? So to Barry's point, I mean, yeah, I think that they're going to have to make changes to the player evaluation staff. And the system, maybe. We talked about the Astros and their system and their staff. Maybe he's learned some things working for five different organizations and five different approaches and five different, you know, front office and coaching staffs that he can bring that maybe can upgrade what they've been doing systematically, because systematically it hasn't been great from a draft perspective. And also, he's somewhat hamstrung by the fact that he doesn't have a first or second round pick.
That is definitely going to be a hindrance, but he'll get a pass on that too.
Sure, he'll get a pass on that, but now that makes the importance of third round and beyond even it's ramped up because of the fact that you've got a compensatory pick at the end of the third round. You've got a third round pick. What you do with those picks and getting something out of those picks is hyper important now because of the fact you don't have a first and a second.
Or do something crazy to win over the fans and figure out how to turn some of what you have into a second round pick.
Yeah, I was going to say trade in.
Yeah. I hope, I mean, if you think about the GM situation in the city of Houston, it started with Daryl Morey and bringing an analytical approach to basketball, and one that had proven to consistently put forth a team that could win. Mm-hmm. They didn't always win. Players sometimes don't play. But it was a different approach to basketball, and it proved to be one that caught on league-wide. Then have Jeff Luno come in and do something similar. And he comes in, and they look at spin rate. They look at analytics. They use the numbers in a different way than people haven't been doing, even in the Moneyball era and so forth, where the Moneyball era, all they cared about was on base percentage. It didn't matter if you hit 200, but if you could get on base at a 400 clip, you're our guy. They didn't care about the rest of it. Jeff Luno took analytics and building a team to a different level, thinking outside the box. And I'm hoping that Brian Gain falls into that same category, looks at the NFL a little bit differently. Look, they started doing it in Cleveland. They ran them out automatically. But you look at the number of draft picks that have been stockpiled in Cleveland because they thought outside the box. More teams, I think, are going to start doing something similar to that in the NFL. I just think the NFL moves a little slower. It's the good old boy network. They're resistant to change most often, but hopefully a guy like Brian Gain, now that there's an alignment between GM and coach in this town, they can start to do something and think outside the box and build a better program.
Yeah, in the perfect scenario, you let him worry about the analytics, the numbers, the research, and you let the eye test be taken care of by from Bill O'Brien's standpoint, the coaching staff standpoint, of guys that have been there, done that, and seen that, and know what they're looking for. Perfect example, you mentioned Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey and Kevin McHale was oil and water because Kevin McHale didn't want to hear about analytics. He wanted to talk about the eye test because that's the old school approach. The balance is Mike D'Antoni, who will take some of those analytical approaches and also work in some of the things that he's used offensively throughout his career that have been successful. And when you get those to mesh the appropriate way, you get the results you're seeing with the Rockets in the regular season. That's what you hope that they can do over there on Kirby, get a good mesh between Bill O'Brien and his eye test football guys and Brian Gain and his front office approach to analyzing talent, and then they can start producing results. Because that's what everybody at the end of the day wants anyway. Just show me guys that can play and show me guys that when they get on the field, they do.
And I think a lot of it comes down to, at the heart of it all, is the scouting. Because the scouting is used for the draft, and the draft produces the results on the field at the end of the day. So I hope that he does make the changes necessary, and I hope that he's had the blessing and everybody's on the same page. Because to me, that's the big thing. I don't want any more infighting from this organization. And it doesn't sound like there's going to be.
Yeah, it seems
so
like they've,
we'll see what they
they've
can,
got a good relationship.
Yeah, we'll see what they can make out of it. Yeah. Give them a year or two, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no doubt. And even with the general manager, you got to give them some time.
Yep.
So we'll see. Talking about good relationships, I'm telling you about a company that's got good relationships as a reputation. It's something that they use as a speaking point for everything they do in business. Infuse Energy and CEO Josh Pesikoff are focused on Houstonians and building relationships with them so that you can trust them whenever you are doing anything with your energy, whether it be your energy provider for your business or your home. They are 100% honest, and that means sometimes they're going to tell you that there's competition out there that can beat their prices and rates, and they're going to do that because they want you to treat them like a trusted friend. They're good people doing great work, providing great energy service at great rates, and I can tell you that from my own personal experiences, my bill has gone down substantially since I joined Infuse Energy and their program, and you can get the same kind of results. Just check them out. It's infuseenergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you're going to get a human being, not an automated system. They're going to talk to you. They're going to tell you, they're going to ask you questions because they want to know when you use energy the most and the least and how they can tailor make a program for you. When you get down to signing up, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit. And if you're really concerned with green energy and trying to make sure that you make a good impact on the with a carbon footprint, 100% green energy all the time at Infuse. When you choose a green plan, it offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That, in a nutshell, decreases your carbon footprint. It's just all how they do business. Check them out. Again, infuseenergy.com, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. It's Infuse Energy.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects for the final half hour. Started talking some football. We've covered the gamut today. Baseball, basketball, football, you name it. We got it. We're going to continue to
hockey.
Go.
Badminton.
We talked camel racing.
Marbles.
That's not hockey, buddy.
Marbles. Did you ever play marbles as a kid?
Yeah, Major protecting League your marbles hunting? When you ride a camel. That's what we talked
Major
about.
Major League bow hunting.
Oh, yeah. We gotta do our yearly.
Our weekly picks.
Recap. Yeah.
One of the majors is coming up.
Yeah.
The Robin Hood 500. We got to get to that.
That's awesome.
So with the Final Four in football set and the conference championships coming up this weekend, look, we talked about it, and we had other people like Lance talk about it with us. The fact that Gronk was a huge factor again for the Patriots. Let's be clear. He is one of the best to ever play the position of tight end, and he is elite as an athlete. A rocket scientist from a brain perspective, maybe not. Gronk tried to analyze the fans last week at Gillette Stadium. Let's just say he probably wants a do-over if he could get one.
For many reasons. I mean, our fans are always coming out. I mean, not bringing it back. I mean, I remember last year I was watching the stands, and they were going bazooka. They were super loud, super proud. So
they were what? They were going bazooka?
And they were going bazooka. They were super loud, super proud. So
shooting people or chewing gum, but neither one is what you're looking for there, Chief.
Yeah, berserk is what he was looking
going
for.
Berserk, yeah. Right?
I've never heard someone. Yeah, I've heard bonkers. I've heard berserk.
They were going bazooka. They were super loud.
Well,
they're straight military, bro. They were going bazooka.
I mean, that's what people go. They go bazooka for this show. That's what it's
they,
what
they sh- as well they should. By
that's
the way.
Right. You know what? I'm going.
They're going bazooka. They-
Look at you, DJ Nicky Nick in the
I
mix.
I like it. Now that I like.
I was just having too much fun.
DJ Nick on the ones and twos. Day. Look at you. I like it. You want to do Q's question?
Yeah, let's do it. Q wants to get in here, talk about something that's randomly not something people like to talk about, the Pro Bowl. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Q?
Yep, boy. Man, I don't like the way they do the Pro Bowl now. I like it old school. They did it after the season. And I liked it when they put it in Hawaii. And with them taking it away from Hawaii, my question to y'all is, what do y'all think? Why aren't they doing, you know, scheduling regular season games over in Hawaii? At least one or two. They're scheduling them everywhere else. And I think they'd have a good contingency, especially if they send the Titans over there with the Mariota or Saints over there with the Mantateo, or if they did it back in the day and sent Troy Polamalu's team over there, they'd have a good following. So I'm trying to figure out why y'all don't think the NFL is scheduling games over there.
Appreciate the call,
That's
Q.
A great question, Q. You know, when you think about it, look, here from the perspective – you want to, which we take the Hawaii question first. I mean, I know they're going to London, but they're also selling out, you know, and you would have to have a draw, I think, in Hawaii. And from a facility standpoint, they have a top of the line stadium in London. Whereas where they had the Pro Bowl in Aloha Stadium is very old, kind of dilapidated. It's kind of like we talked about San Diego and their building, Qualcomm with the Chargers and why they moved. But, you know, from the standpoint of Pro Bowl, God, there were so many guys backing out already and worried about injuries and everything else.
Which is
the big bonus was as long as it was in Hawaii and you could take your family, everybody did it for like a family vacation. They don't want to go to Orlando.
So when it comes to the Pro Bowl, I'm with you. I think one of the benefits of doing it in Hawaii was the trip. Everyone got to go to Hawaii, and that was a big deal. As for why they don't have games there, I hate to be this guy. Mm-hmm. It's America. That's what's it's why don't they have games in Idaho? I mean, there's no real reason to take two NFL teams that have home cities and make them go play in, and you're not going to do it in Iowa. You're not going to do it in Wyoming. Why are you going to send them to Hawaii?
What was the name of the caller?
Q.
I mean,
it's not a different country. It's one of the 50 states, and they just don't happen to have an NFL team. Whether it be for, you know, logistical reasons and travel or whatnot, or the population to support it or the money to build a stadium. But the fact of the matter is, neither does Idaho. But you don't go play a game in Idaho to play a game there.
And you need a 10 million more queues. You need 10 million more people to clamor and say, I want a game in Hawaii. And there really isn't
any. The reason you're going to London or the NFL is going to London to play is the same reason the NBA was expanding. It's to expand into an international market and take the game global. I'm sorry, but Hawaii doesn't do that. It's just part of the 50s.
And they can't finance it that well.
When you're supposed to be focused in probably the middle of your season when these games pop up and you get distracted by the weather and the beach
and
everything going on in Hawaii,
yeah.
Are you really going to be focused on football like you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
And a part of the reason why the Pro Bowl went away is because fans were complaining about the competitiveness.
Oh, that sucks.
Even
and
Rogers
they don't want
said.
To compete. Joel said they want to take their family. They want to enjoy a nice vacation in Hawaii, and they're not trying to get hurt out there.
Exactly. And that's the big thing. No one. It's such a violent sport. I would, and we talk about this, it seems like every year, but do an all-star type game where you have, you know, a punt, pass, and kick or Battle of the Network Stars, but use NFL players. And I know they did that.
They
had the drone drop and all that stuff. Great, but then just get rid of the game and do that. Do the drone drop where you have receivers trying to catch. Come up with more fun stuff that you do. Paintball. Do AFC versus NFC paintball.
It's all fun and games, Barry, until someone loses an eye.
And wear a helmet. But, I mean, that to me would be fun and different, and you probably would get more participation.
Should do camel races.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, here's the thing. Unlike baseball and basketball, you're dealing with a sport that provides a lot of injuries. Like you said, it's a violent sport. And especially when there's nothing on the line and nothing to play for, so there's really nothing to gain and a whole lot to lose. I know Rogers spoke up in the past, look, if everybody's just going to go half-ass it, then why are we doing it? It's actually a valid point. It sounds like spilled milk and he's just being, you know, uppity and crotchety. But the bottom line is, if guys are more worried about getting hurt than they are playing the game, and they're not going to play it with the physicality that they play it when they won this honor to be in this game, you got to just either do away with it or, like you said, find something else and just – you get the honor, you get the awards and the rewards that go with it, but you don't have to play the game because who's really watching the Pro Bowl anyway?
I've never watched a Pro Bowl game in my life, to be honest with you. I've seen clips of it, but I've never sat down. Oh, sorry, babe. I'm going to have to clear my schedule. No chores, no nothing. Fake football's on. I got to watch it.
And
I got to watch these guys.
Flag football, that doesn't solve it.
You'll get hurt, too,
you
doing that.
Exactly.
Somebody did text in when we were talking about Bryant Gane and ways to make an impact and moving up. He said, trade Clowney for picks.
Let's not go too
trade
far.
Trade JJ.
I was going to say, here's the thing. JJ's making $100 million, and there's no guarantees he's ever going to be where he once was. I mean, Clowney's playing pretty good
I tell
good
you
these
what,
days.
You want to get some picks next year, you could trade one of those guys and it would work.
I don't know.
Do you really need two pass rushers?
How many teams are going to jump on J.J. Watt?
There will be plenty that need help.
They need help.
They need an edge rusher or a guy that can get after the quarterback.
How many teams believe
he
can still do it?
All you need is one. You got 31 chances.
Look what Rick Smith did with Brock Osweiler.
I'm telling you. All you need is one. There's plenty of Cleveland Browns.
By the way, speaking of J.J., he was on a treadmill today.
Good.
So he's running again.
Get after it.
Now let's put two offensive linemen that weigh about 300 pounds apiece on him and see how he's doing with his back and his leg. At least there's progress being made. That's good to know that Justin James Watt
that's right.
is on the comeback trail.
That's right.
That's good.
Yep. You know who else is probably on the comeback trail?
Tell me.
People trying to come back from Harvey.
True.
And they're out there trying to rebuild their homes. They're waiting on their FEMA money. And they're saying, hey, man, I don't know if I want to go through this. This is such a hassle. I'm trying to get this house rebuilt. I can't get the government to send me my money. The contractors aren't here. Sheetrock is still hard to find. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call Gulf State Home Buyers at 281-717-6100. Give them a call and let them come out. They're going to come out to your house. They're going to give you a free, no obligation. They're not going to pester you. They're just going to come out and give you a cash offer evaluation on your home. And now you're going to have two things in your hand. You're going to have an invoice on how much it's going to cost to rebuild your house. And you're going to have another one from Gulf State Home Buyers that's going to tell you what it's worth, what they'll give you cash for the home, what it's worth to them. You can compare these and decide, is this worth it to continue to try to rebuild this home? Is it worth it to wait on this money and go through this headache and this hassle? I still have friends that are not back in their home, and I'm telling them, call Gulf State Home Buyers, man. They may have actually a better option and a better offer for you. Gulf State Home Buyers, winner of the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau the last 2 years, 2016 and 2017. It means you know you're working with a great company, people you can trust that want to help you make that right decision. So give them a call, 281-717-6100. They've got an entire in-house staff of professionals, including attorneys and title companies, all ready to help you get that house sold, get that cash, and move on. You take that cash, you maybe find a better home in a nicer neighborhood, or maybe a neighborhood that doesn't flood or won't not as prone to flooding than the one you're in right now. Either way, give them a call, 281-717-6100, or visit them on the web, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry doing his Flavor Flav kind of head shake on speed while he got a little Birdman out of his system.
That's a boy, that'll get you.
Now, back in the day, Birdman was flying high.
Yeah.
But based on what we've seen with his house, maybe not so much anymore. Did you see that?
I saw that. How does that happen?
I don't know, Nick. What'd you say his first contract was for?
I think his first contract was $30 million. When he got that first deal, it was something ridiculous. Like,
so what I saw was I was looking at, okay, what is his net worth? Let's tell the people what we're talking about. There's an article that came out on Blast, theblast.com.
Right.
Said Birdman's ordered to hand over keys to his sick Miami mansion in $12 million legal war. And apparently he's got to give up the home. Right? It says Birdman was embroiled in a lawsuit with a company named EMG Transfer Agent, who accused a producer of defaulting on a $12 million loan. The mansion was bought for $14 million in 2012, was put up as collateral for the loan. So he defaulted on the loan, the $12 million loan, used the mansion as collateral for said loan, and now it is in jeopardy of losing it. And you're wondering, dude, why aren't you paying your $12 million loan? You're about to give up a 20,000-square-foot, three-story, seven-bed, 11-bath home because you don't want to pay your bill, your $12 million bill. I Googled Birdman net worth, $180 million.
Then why can't you pay this thing off?
That's a great question. Now to your point, Nick, I was curious, how did he make his money? And in the article, it says the label, Birdman and his brother Ronald Slim Williams founded Cash Money Records in 91. Mm-hmm. Label experienced marginal success until Universal Records in 98 gave the brothers a $3 million advance on a $30 million distribution deal.
So it was a distribution deal
worth $30 million. For the records that they put out. So, it's supposedly net worth to the company would be $30 million, or maybe gross.
You got to see this crib, by the way. It's pretty sick.
At the end of the day, if your net worth is $180 million, and I realize some of that is not tied up
in cash.
Right,
you can liquidate it.
Of the $180 million, guess what? $14 million of that was this mansion, all right?
Right.
But still, how do you get in these positions?
And that's got to be tough. You're forced to vacate your beautiful home.
Yeah, they said you give up the keys, access to the security system. I'm sure that hopefully he gets the contents out before he's got to completely clear out, but maybe that's being frozen as well. But, I mean, come on, man.
20,000 square feet.
When you're that high on the hog, living that well for that long, and all of a sudden you can't do that?
Yeah, my first house was 1,800 square feet. So it's essentially, 10 of those?
I mean, you read some of the stats. I mean,
and he has the reputation of not paying rappers, so I'm sure guys like Lil Wayne is really happy and just laughing.
That's right.
That's what they said. They were hoping Lil Wayne actually buys it, but they said the freeze will not allow anyone else to take ownership of the house or get involved until everything sorts itself out. But anyone who rents it out in the process, if they decide to do that, gets full access to the below ground pool, the cabana, the gym, the spa, the in-house massage room, and the private waterfront dock.
If I'm Lil Wayne, I rent the house and poop everywhere, smear it around, and then leave, and then that's his house. He's got there's poop in Birdman's cage.
That's your idea. That's your plan.
That's my big get back. That's my big...
Now that the cat's out of the bag, the security deposit better be pretty steep then for that situation.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure they probably charge you like $5,000-$10,000. Wouldn't it be worth it? Even if it's $100,000 as your security deposit, would it not be worth it to poop in his house if you're mad at the dude?
And you would think Lil Wayne can cover it, right?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what his net worth is. Let me Google Lil Wayne net worth. Which, by the way, Lil Wayne, can we all agree that we know you smoke weed? You don't have to do that before every song. Have you ever noticed in every song he's in now, you hear the lighter, and then he hits the J one time, and then he raps. It's like,
what if he's lighting up a cigar?
Okay, big guy, we get it. You have access to weed. That's great. So does the entire West Coast of the country.
California,
yeah, the Western
now,
half of the nation. We don't need to hear it. We don't need to hear it in your raps, in your little hippity hop
songs. Whatever works, bro.
If it works
for him, keep doing it.
So Lil Wayne's net worth is around $150 million. So $30 million less. It probably would be $180 million if Birdman would pay him. But this article says also Lil Wayne admits to not having $150 million in net worth. But again, net worth is it's your liquid assets, it's your non-liquid assets, it's your real estate, it's your cars, it's your royalties, it's your contracts for royalties. There's a lot that goes into net worth. It's not just cash in the bank.
Gronk just called, by the way. He wants to know how you drink.
Everything's going bazookas out here.
Well, he also wants to know how you drink the liquid assets.
Yeah, I don't have any of my money tied up in alcohol. What, Gronk?
Yeah,
I don't have any.
It's
going bazookas out here in the financial world. What were you going to say, Nick? I'm sorry.
I don't even remember. That was funny, though, the whole Rob Gronkowski thing. But yeah.
Man, that's
well, because you're talking about, I mean, seriously, two guys that were on top of the world in the music industry.
Yep.
You know, and if you just are somewhat sensible with your money to some degree.
Oh, yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. That you'd be surprised how many millionaires are waiting for their next paycheck because they don't have no more money. But they're full-blown millionaires. You know what I mean?
It's true.
But they're waiting for that next direct deposit in their account because they've absolutely spent every dime and penny from what they've earned, and it was really a lot of money.
And you know, I'm not saying you have to be John Stockton when he played, who drove a Honda Civic and was hyper conservative.
Oh, I am.
And all that. But I'm saying you don't need like 8 different houses and 15 different cars and all this other stuff. If you're just smart and do some things with investing with your money, you're fine for a couple lifetimes.
But I need a Rari for every day.
Gotta have like when I saw Brock Lesnar when he made his first appearance for the UFC. They were going around while he was training for the fight, and he was driving around in his Chevy Aveo. Like, all right, we get it. This is obviously for show. You're trying to put on this show that you're modest. But you know you've got 2 or 3 Mercedes and a freaking jacked-up truck and a ranch somewhere else. So don't act like you're all Mr. Modest because you have 15 other cars.
And to bring it full circle and to make you hate him more, Doc Rivers even said he was uncomfortable because Austin Rivers bought some Ferrari. Or something like that. That shows you how grossly overpaid Austin Rivers is for what he does in the NBA.
That he can afford a Ferrari?
And he's blowing coin on...
I'd buy one sports car, even if I didn't.
What would you buy if you were a multimillionaire? Once your radio producing and hosting career takes off and you become a multimillionaire, what kind of car are you going to buy?
I've always wanted that Fastback from Gone in 60 Seconds. The 67 Ford Mustang Shelby GT500. I've always wanted that bad boy.
That's a nice choice.
That bad boy is slick.
Joel?
I'm not that car guy. I'm not, and sports cars to me, I'm just not that big of a deal. I'd probably buy the most luxurious SUV, but I'm just not a big, like, fast cars guy.
I'm not either. Like, I had a 300Z when they first came out because I had always wanted a nice sports car. But I think I would look at a combination between a sports car, but also the BMW 800.
Is it called the 800? You're talking about
the new one that came out?
I think it's the BMW 800i, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. There's some sports car that BMW makes. It's just ridiculous looking. But I would buy something like that. But then I'm with you. I would buy like a really nice SUV. I would buy maybe an Escalade
or Range or something like that.
Yeah. I would have two cars. I would have a sports car and an SUV, and that would be that. I wouldn't go crazy with 1,000 different machines and all that. I don't need all that.
I mean, I remember when Pat Beverly signed his big contract that he's on right now.
Yeah.
And the day he signed it, before he even came in and put his ink pen to paper, he bought a Bentley.
Oh, no.
That's the one he got pulled over for that they had. And it's like, when you think about how much those cars are, and you think about he just basically spent at least an eighth, if not more, of his next 6-year contract, however long it was. It's like, why?
It's crazy. Don't get it. But I mean, if you got the money, do it. But be careful. Like, let it breathe a little, right? Yeah. Let the ink dry. Let it breathe a little bit. Speaking of breathing a little bit, you know, you eat too much, you get a little full, you eat bad, you start gaining weight. And that's why I want you guys, when you go out to Cowboys and Indians, because I know you're going to go. I talked about it earlier. You've heard me talk about Cowboys and Indians, Texas Kitchen. I know you're going to go. And even if you're a part of the Houston, the Usual Suspects, ESPN Houston Weight Loss Challenge, you can go to Cowboys and Indians, get some food that's healthy for you. You're not going to feel full. You're not going to feel bloated. You're not going to feel disgusted. They've got delicious options for you out there. I'm looking at the Facebook page for Cowboys and Indians right now, CNI713 on Facebook. First post that I'm looking at is a picture of some fried vegetables, some green beans, some steak. It's a no-carb option for you if you want to go out and eat at Cowboys and Indians. So you can eat healthy. I've had the grilled chicken and the green beans. It was good. It really was. I'm not making that up. Whatever you do, get out there. Give it a shot for me. Let me know what you thought. Hit me up on Twitter. Tell me if you liked it or not. I guarantee you're going to like it. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown if you want to get out there. You can also have it delivered. They're on DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. And look, if you're not trying to lose weight, you don't care right now, get out there and get their ESPN 97.5 special. It's a half-pound classic burger with fries for $8.99. It's delicious. They got a full-service bar. Get out there, get your drink on. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Tell Haas and the crew I said hello when you go out there. Make sure you go out there and take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. Close to folks who have you ever felt the pain so
powerful? Yeah, boy. This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.